Now this morning, if you'll turn to the very last book in the Bible, the book of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the beloved apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, giving to us a panoramic view of the plan of the end time and that which God has in store. Revelation chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading at verse 8. May I say again that it is indeed a joy to have you in the services today. And may I say again, I trust that you will be faithful to the Sunday evening worship service, the training time at 6, the evening worship hour at 7. You know, I've bragged on the Sunday night crowds of Worth Baptist Church. I've told preachers everywhere that we have about as many on Sunday night as we have on Sunday morning. And I've been telling the truth, and I sure wouldn't want to be made a storyteller tonight. So let's come tonight. Let's have a great time. This will be an unusual message, an unusual service. The Potter's House, an illustrated sermon at 7 o'clock. Now in the Revelation chapter 2, verse 8, I am going to read after we pause for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we truly thank Thee for the revelation of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that Thou hast given us an opportunity to hear about it, to see it, to know it, to experience it. May we on this Loyalty Sunday turn our loyalties toward Christ and be faithful unto Him, even unto death, is our prayer in His name and for His sake. Amen. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. During the war between the states, a Confederate soldier by the name of Sam Davis was captured by the Union armies. At this particular stage in the war, it was a very serious matter to be taken hostage by the opposing forces. So Sam Davis was offered his life and his freedom if he would but inform on his fellow troops of the Confederate Army. When he was approached by the officer of the Union forces with the proposition, he gave this answer: I would die 1,000 deaths before I would betray a friend. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. You remember Jesus said, he that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake, the same shall find it. I would to God that we felt the same way that Sam Davis felt. That it might be our testimony that we would die 1,000 deaths before we would ever betray the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know that I'm speaking to a congregation out of which I am certain there would not be one single soul who would openly, flagrantly, unapologetically, unashamedly deny a knowledge or a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, or who would betray him to his enemies. I would certainly be disappointed if there were one person in this congregation that I felt would do that today. But beloved, when you shirk the responsibility that you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward the Church of the Living God, you are a traitor to the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, I hope that nobody would go away and misunderstand their pastor, because I'm 29 years old and I never have been misunderstood yet. But I'm going to say it with all of my soul, church member. If you are not faithful to the cause of Christ and the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have betrayed him to the enemy camp. This is Loyalty Sunday. And I say again that I would to God we felt as the Confederate soldier felt, that we had rather die 1,000 times than to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. My message today is simply on being faithful unto death. We're going to look at some of the outstanding characters in the Bible who were faithful in different measures, in different expressions, but faithful just the same. Let us then consider, first of all, the story of Job. Now, Job was an unusual man. The Bible describes him as the best and the richest man of the East, a goodly man who feared God and hated evil. He was a very wealthy man. He had much goods of this world. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And the Bible tells us in describing Job's predicament that the sons of God were giving a report in heaven to God, and that the devil was right along there with them. You know, wherever God's people meet, Satan is. And God said to Satan, "What are you doing here?" And Satan said, "Well, I've been going to and fro upon the earth, and I've just been taking inventory." And God said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's not another man like him." "Oh, yes," Satan said, "I've considered Job. And you've built a hedge about Job. The only reason that Job serves you is because of your prosperity." God said, "All right, Mr. Devil, You old scoundrel, you crook, you deceiver, you conniver, you old serpent. You go down there and take away Job's prosperity and Job will still serve me. And you know the story and you know that he did. And so Satan came back. You know, he's a persistent old fellow, isn't he? He came back before God. And he said, now, skin for skin. Whatever a man has, he'll give for his life. And God said, all right, you go down and make him sick. And he'll still serve me. And so God gave Satan the power to make Job sick. Probably with boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And Job sat out there on the ash heap and took a piece of broken pottery and scrubbed his body down because of the pain and the torment and the discomfort. And yet the Bible says, with his lips he sinned not against God. What a predicament Job was in. And yet Job had a philosophy. I would to God we would adopt the same today. For in chapter 1 and verse 21, Job said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I leave. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. And blessed be the name of the Lord. What a philosophy. He states it also in chapter 13 and verse 15. When all of his family had been taken away from him, his sons and daughters. When his stock and his harvest had all been burned up, and his own wife had suggested that he curse God and die. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What a credo for life. Faithful unto death. If thou wilt be faithful unto death, I will give thee the crown of life. That's what Jesus said. And all the faith of Job. We owe Job perhaps more than we do any other character in the scripture. For preaching a sermon on the resurrection and return of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 19th chapter of that great book in verse 25, Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after this skin, worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, and mine eyes shall behold him, and not another. What a faith. Job, in the midst of torment, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of criticism, in the midst of all of his trials and problems and burdens and losses, Job was faithful unto death. And you know, the story ends on a happy note. For in the 42nd chapter, Job was given back his children, and he was given double of all the possessions that he lost. And the Bible says that the latter end of Job was better than the beginning. Why? For one reason. Job was loyal to God. Are you faithful to him? Have you decided that some of the cause of Christ is not worthy of your support? Have you decided that some of the services of the church really aren't worthy of your attendance? Don't be guilty of betraying Jesus. And he that is faithful unto death shall receive the crown of life. Now let us consider the story of a woman in the Bible named Ruth. This is the most beautiful story in the Old Testament. Let's look at Ruth's decision. I shall not belabor you nor take the time to bring you up to date on all of the events that transpired, but there was a man living in Judah whose name was Elimelech, and his wife was Naomi, and there was a famine in the days of the judges in the land of Judah, and so this man moved his wife over into the land of Moab, and they had two sons. And they took a wife. And the man died, and his sons died, and left Naomi with her two daughters-in-law. And Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "I've got to go back home. Oh, there's something sweet about going back home. I've got to go back to the land of my fathers. I've got to go back to the land of Judah." Now Naomi said, "Daughters-in-law, you stay here in this land. I'm an old woman. And my only two sons, your husbands, are dead. And even if I had a husband myself and gave birth to sons, you wouldn't wait for them to be grown men to marry them. You stay here and I'll go back to my land." One of them said, "Okay, that sounds like a good idea to me." But Ruth, thank God for the Ruths of this generation. And Ruth said, "Please, Naomi, don't beg me to stay. For I must go with you. And whither thou goest, I must go. And wherever thou lodgest, I must lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. And wherever thou diest, I will die. And wherever they bury you, I want them to bury me. Faithful unto death to receive a crown of life." Ruth made a tremendous decision that day. She decided that God of Judah, God of Israel, Jehovah God, would be her God. That God's people would be her people. And if I may put it in terms that you understand, God's church would be her church. When Ruth made that decision, she went back into the land of Judah with Naomi. And in chapter 2 of that wonderful book, we see Ruth out there serving. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Out in the wheat field, gathering the wheat into the barn of the man who was to become her husband. You know, you and I today in the midst of the 20th century, in 1969, in Crusade Month 1969, we have an opportunity to serve him who is our husband. Ruth was serving. You and I have an opportunity to serve him. And over in chapter 3, Ruth is found resting. And Ruth is resting in the home of the man who is going to be her husband. And oh, my friend, today, that kinsman redeemer Boaz has provided a place not only of service, but he has provided a place of rest. And I hasten to tell you today that our kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, has provided for us a place of rest. And he says to us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are a heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my burden is easy, and my yoke is light. Naomi, Ruth, found a place of rest in the kinsman redeemer. And beloved, you and I find that rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Rest for our weary souls. Rest from the toil of the day. Rest from the work of our jobs. And rest from the fierce pressures of life. There is a rest remaining unto the people of God. And then in the last chapter of that glorious book is Ruth's reward. For over in the last chapter, Ruth wins a husband. And the kinsman redeemer Boaz takes Ruth to his wife. Now, beloved, you and I have a husband. And I'm speaking of that great spiritual relationship. I'm not speaking of anything human and material and physical. But I'm speaking of my husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are his bride and he is our husband. Tell us about it, John. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of God, out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, a bride for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he shall be their God, and they shall be his people. God shall wipe away all tears. And there shall be no more death, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And John says, John got carried away on the Isle of Patmos. Some people might think the preacher hollers a little bit too loud and gets a little bit carried away. But if you had it in your soul like I've got it this morning, you'd have to do something about it. John says, and there came to me an angel who had one of the seven vials of the seven plagues and said to me, come up hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And bless your heart today, as sure as God makes little green apples, I am in that number. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you are in that number. And we're his bride. And he's our husband. And one of these days, the marriage ceremony is going to take place. Around the marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus is going to say to the Father, here's my bride. You know what? We've got a lot of imperfections now. Oh, we're so full of mistakes. We have so many blotches, so many scars, so many wrinkles, so many blemishes. But Jude says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, without scar, without sin, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. I'm looking for the reward. I'm looking for the bridegroom. I'm looking for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And my text says, he that is faithful unto death will have the crown of life. Now, let's move over into the new economy. And there's a man there by the name of Paul. You know about Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, don't you? He saw a great light, and he heard a great voice. And there on the road to Damascus, old Saul of Tarsus became Paul, the apostle and preacher. Well, Paul had a philosophy too. He had a credo by which he governed his life. It's found in three different places in the New Testament, basically. One in the book of Philippians, chapter 1 and verse 21. Oh, to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. It's also found in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I like that word, nevertheless. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I. Not old ego. Not self. Not Paul. Not Raymond Barber. Not you. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. Gave himself for me. Then Paul says in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. That's Paul's credo. That's his philosophy. I pray God it shall be ours too. Then came the day of Paul's execution. They opened the Roman door out of a Roman prison by a Roman soldier that led into a Roman courtyard for a Roman execution. Somehow I can see Paul stooped with age, stooped with the cares of the churches, stooped with the travels of his missionary journeys, stooped from being in a Roman dungeon. I can see him coming out now. Don't think he had eyeglasses, he had bad eyesight. But he rubbed his eyes. For the bright Roman sun must have been shining that morning. And there was a big old chalk block out there in the Roman courtyard. And they laid Paul down on that chalk block. Some of his companions were there. His enemies were there. Sort of reminds me of the crucifixion. There was both friend and foe at the cross. There was a doctor there. You really mean it, preacher? I sure do. Paul said, only Luke is with me. The rest of that gang has forsaken me. They've gone out after some other preacher. They've left
like me, and only Luke is here. Thank God for Dr. Luke, who was faithful to Paul and faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And somehow, and the Bible doesn't tell us this, but somehow in my own mind's eye, Paul stretched out there upon the Roman block, Dr. Luke said, Paul, have you any last words? And Paul said, yes, I do. Tell them, I have fought a good fight. Tell them I finished my course. Tell them the time of my departure is at hand. Tell them I've kept the faith. Tell them I've kept the faith. Tell them I've been loyal. Tell them I've been faithful. And tell them that as sure as the Roman sun is shining, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not to me only, but to every faithful Christian and member of Worth Baptist Church. To everyone that loves his appearing. And you know, down came the Roman axe. Off went the apostle's head. But up went his spirit. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He that is faithful unto death shall receive a crown of life. Now I've got a footnote and I'm through. Somebody's writing the story of your life. The biography of your life is being written. What can they say about you? Well, preacher, I've been faithful on Sunday morning. Oh, how sweet. Oh, I've been faithful in this area, and I've been faithful, but the text said, he that is faithful unto death shall receive the crown of life. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for a faith that moves us to be faithful. We thank Thee for a cause that demands and deserves our lives, our souls, our bodies, our loyalties, our loves, our faithfulness in all that we are. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray right now, if there are those who have never tasted the heavenly gift, they have never been saved, they have never trusted Jesus, maybe they are trusting church membership or trusting the catechisms or trusting baptism or some other thing, but have never trusted Jesus, may they come today to trust Him. For those, Heavenly Father, who need to come and reaffirm their faith and pledge their loyalty and pledge their faithfulness to Christ and to the church, may they come today on Loyalty Sunday and place their hand in this pastor's hand. And by doing it, say, Pastor, I pledge my loyalties to Jesus Christ and I pledge my loyalties to this church, to this pastor, to this people, to this cause. And I pledge myself to the salvation of lost souls. May they come today. For those who need a church home, may they come and identify themselves with this church. Whatever the needs are, may they come today is our prayer in Jesus' name. While the congregation remains in prayer, the choir is going to sing. And just because the choir sings and the congregation prays, Congregation, that doesn't mean that the choir's any better than you are. That doesn't mean that there aren't people who go to the choir who do not feel sometime the need of coming forward. So you're in the choir. If you feel it today, I want you to come too. We can do without your voice for a few moments if you feel the need that I'm talking about today. But while you remain there in the congregation in prayer, and while the choir sings, if there be one soul without Jesus today, I want you to come and trust him. If there be those who would like to come and say, Pastor, I want to pledge and repledge my faithfulness to Christ, my loyalties to the church on this Loyalty Sunday, I want to be a crusader for Christ, I want you to come.